Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. Good to be back. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, our producer this morning again.
Good morning. It's Joanna. How are you?
What's up in there?
Everything good here. Leslie got a little sick, so I'm just here for today. She'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, she got a bug on her vacation.
She partied too hard. That's what it is.
Probably so. Get your resistance down.
Yes, yes. How are you this morning,
Captain? I'm good. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm here.
Little last-minute call. Got you in the studio. It's all good.
But I like this shift, so it's good.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's fun. And I learn about fishing, so it's a win-win for me.
I'll have to take your word for that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, it's good to be here. We are back in the saddle. Astros just keep on winning, you know. We got the sweep in Cleveland, and Cleveland said we weren't that special.
And oh, my just, God. Did you see that video on that? Facebook going around?
I couldn't believe that. Said we're not that special. Well, we just won the World Series last year, and we just swept your butt. Said, but we're not that special.
Yeah. You have to prove them. You don't say anything. Just show them.
Yeah. Well, it's I laughed at that. I couldn't help but laugh. But it's all good. Good drama.
Yes.
Go Stros. We got a couple more days to wait before we can see them play again. But next up, Boston Red Sox. Yeah. I'd rather go through the best to win it all.
Yeah. We have a good team, so.
We've got an excellent team.
Yeah.
No doubt. Houston proud. All right, folks. Well, welcome to the show, and I guess we can get rolling here, shall we? Looks like Weather and Galveston are sponsors today for today's show. We have Hookspit Performance Rods, Mainstream Marketing, Texan Roofing, the Belleville Meat Market, Skeeter's Auto Service, Beck and Mastin Buick GMC North, Boyd's One Stop, and Steel Blue Work Boots. Weather in Galveston, 72 degrees down on the island this morning. Doesn't that sound good? And they're calling for some winds today, but I don't know. They're showing north-northeast 15 to 25. That's what they're calling for. It's only a forecast. We'll see as the sun comes up. And then tonight, mostly clear, low of 72 again, high of 80 today. Winds will be northeast 10 to 15. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 81s. Winds will be east at 10 to 15. And looking at tides right now, we have they're all running above normal due to the, you know, the Gulf being swelled up like it is. And looks like a low occurred at 12:42 a.m. Then we have a high at 6:23 a.m., a low at 12:27 p.m., and then a high at 8:52 p.m. So that's surf was up yesterday. Saw some cool surfing photos all over Facebook. Everybody was down doing their thing. Right now, current conditions, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, we have a north wind at 18, gusting to 22. And at Eagle Point, we have a north-northeast wind at 10, gusting to 16. And north at 11, gusting to 15 at Morgan's Point. So all winds are mostly northerly. So, and we do have a coastal, flood warnings. Well, not exactly flood. Tides are going to be running extremely above normal. I noticed Corpus Christi had several alerts this morning also. Big swell in the Gulf and above normal tides due to Michael. And, boy, what a nasty hurricane. 2 miles an hour off of being a Cat 5 when it went ashore. Nobody saw that coming. That's why this weather thing, it's just a forecast, so it's so hard to predict. But one good thing about it, well, there's nothing good about a hurricane, but that thing was moving fast, and it got through the area before it just withered everything away. When you got winds like that, if that thing would have slowed down to 2 to 5 miles per hour, it would have just, you talk about structure starting to dwindle and just collapse. It would have just withered it to pieces. But that was the only good thing about that hurricane. It's moving fast, and now it's downgraded to a tropical storm, finally, and affecting Georgia, and it'll be affecting the North Carolina, you know, the Carolinas and all that later. So just after they already had a hurricane. So here we go again, round two for those folks. All right, let's go over to Sabine Lake. Let's talk to our good friend, Captain Bill Watkins. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Oh, man. I couldn't hardly get away from that TV watching that terrible storm. It could have come here so easy.
It could have had. You know, the Gulf is, we look at it as a big, huge, you know, body of water, but it becomes real small when a hurricane comes through the chute down there.
Yeah, it fills it up. It's one like that just almost goes wall to wall.
Yes, it does.
It just come right on.
That thing could have been a whole lot worse, though.
Yeah, it come up so fast and built up so that, that's what happens when we go into the fall. It was still hot as we were.
Yeah, those warm Gulf waters, it just fueled the heck out of it. And but, you know, if that thing would have slowed down just a little bit, and, you know, it would have been a Cat 5 without a doubt. I mean, they might as well call it a Cat 5. It was, what's 2 miles an hour when you're talking 155-mile-an-hour winds?
That's, yeah, 155-mile-an-hour you know, winds.
What's 2 miles an hour?
Yeah, really. Plus, you had gusts going over that, you know.
I saw one deal on a gust there at, you had that airport there close by, that Air Force base, and then you had Mexico Beach, and they had a AccuWeather wind gust table on there, and it showed one gust at 197 miles an hour yesterday.
Oh, good grief. Nothing could withstand that for very long.
No, and what if that thing would have slowed down and just beat the living daylights out of that area, just moving, just crawling through there with those kind of winds? There'd be nothing left. You remember what Andrew did? What was that, the Homestead, Florida, and all that area?
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, because it slowed down and came across the peninsula there and just left a path of nothing but just, it was unbelievable.
It flattened everything.
It did.
I saw several photos yesterday where it had just stripped the leaves off the trees like a tornado does.
Yeah.
Just cleaned it.
They don't have to worry about fall this year. There's no leaves to turn.
No, they won't even change colors. They won't be there. You know, that's roofs blowing off and whole buildings just flattening out. That's just terrible.
That's the finger of God right there, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't want to be anywhere near that eye wall. With that,
no.
That is horrendous power.
There won't be a bunch of deaths from that.
Two is all I've heard of so far. You know, that may rise later. You know, look at the flooding we had up in West Texas out that way, Junction area and all that. You know, from that front line, it just kept training all that rain up through there for 2 days. They've got water like they've never seen before up there. I know there's game wardens and other people up there with cadaver dogs and all searching, you know, looking for missing people.
Good gracious alive.
A lot going on right now.
Yeah, the weather has been crazy. This whole year. All the whole year, really. It's nuts. And I'm just wondering when we're going to get this tide to go back down.
It's going
to
be a while.
You know, I don't think it's gonna go down fast and rush out. I think it's gonna just slowly subside. And it sure would help the fishing if the water would get out of the parking lots.
That would make it easier on us to put a boat in, and it'd make it easier to go wade fish. I mean, I had nowhere to wade fish this week. Everything was up your neck on the banks.
We had to wait to get in the boat Monday. It was hard to fish. I mean, the fish were so scattered. I couldn't get a pattern going on anything. We just caught one here and one over there. And beautiful day, too. And, shoot, I was so frustrated. Every once in a while, you'd find a fish, and they'd hit. But finding a more than one in a place, good grief.
Everybody I knew fished right against the bank. They'd have their bow up in the grass. It's normally dry on the shoreline, and their depth finder's showing 3.5 and 4 feet right next to the bank.
Yeah, it was a pretty day, too, you know. The wind blew a little too hard, but it was not a bad wind direction.
Yeah, they missed the wind forecast yesterday big time. Remember they kept saying north 5 to 10?
Yeah.
Maybe you add them together, and that was the lightest you could find.
Probably be like that today, too.
Well, that forecast I just read off said 15 to 25 out of the northeast. Right now, we don't have it. But that's subject to change when the sun comes up. You know how on a front, that northeast wind always comes up when that pressure slides. We got about 10 to 15 here now. Offshore 18 to 22 out of the north. North, northeast 10 to 15 in the bay right now. But the forecast I read off did say 15 to 25 today out of the northeast.
Well, it's going to get cool tomorrow night. I mean, tonight, yes. Right now, it's probably fairly cool out there.
72 feels like Christmas to me after the way it's been.
Yeah, it's been so stinking hot in the humid. I mean, just getting rid of the humidity is. Matter of fact, I'm going to slip off and go squirrel hunting this morning.
That'd be a good morning to make a little hunt. And
yep.
This weekend, we got another one coming in. It's going to get a lot cooler. It's going to be really nice.
Yeah, it's time for that. Maybe that one will blow the tide down, I hope.
Yeah.
The shrimp are so far up in the marsh. They're way back up in there. And they're probably a bunch of fish back in there, too, as deep as the water is. I mean, it was almost over the Causeway launch down there at low end of Sabine Lake.
Yeah, down at the bridge, the Pleasure Island Inn down there.
Yeah, it was almost up to the top of the boards on the wing walls.
Wow.
At the ramp. Actually had to wait a little water to get in the boat. And when we come back, it was an inch higher than before we left. That equates to no tide movement all day. That makes it even harder, sure
does. Yeah, it does.
Those fish were just floating around out there wherever they were.
Yeah, it's hard to find them bottled up, you know, bunched up real thick when you got that much water, especially when you have to revert to the shorelines. You can't get out in the middle because it's so windy, and you have to get on the shorelines, and they could be anywhere.
I fished many times in situations like that, and most of the time it's going to be difficult. And when it starts falling out, that's when it concentrates everything.
Yeah.
Gets a lot better. Start getting a good, strong outflow. Boy, those redfish will gather up. The trout start finding the shrimp. Oh, it'll be... But anyway, everybody was forewarned before we put the boat in the water, but it was such a pretty morning that everybody...
Well, you just had to go. Had to get out. You know, it was nice and cool. You bet. Hang on, Bill. Let me do a quick commercial break. I'll be right back with you, my friend.
Okay,
stick
man.
With me. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 420 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Bill. All right, Bill, we're back.
Hey, man.
All right.
Yeah, Monday I wandered all the way. Instead of just putting my trolling motor down and staying and fishing the heck out of the bank, I kept going and looking further and further up north, further, further, and finally I wound up all the way in the East Pass. And really, the water and coffee ground and up that way and across the north end was really nice-looking water mostly. And I kept looking for the magic dose. There was no magic.
No magic.
Crab balls were hanging everywhere, just bobbing like corks, you know. I said, well, you know, when this tide goes out, well, when that tide never went out, I finally figured you should have just stayed where you've caught the first fish and hammered that area real good. And I think I probably could have doubled what we had. But, hey, everybody had a good time. It was a pretty sunny day, and it didn't rain much, which was a real plus.
That's a plus. You got that right.
We didn't get soaked in the boat like we've been doing. So and even though it was hot, it still had a little hint of fall in the air. You know, it just was different. The light was different. The sun kind of pulls over a little further south every, you know, at that time of year. It just gets different. And normally this time of year, they're burning the marsh everywhere.
Yeah.
They're not burning any marsh over here. It's just too much water out there.
Yeah, usually we get any kind of east wind or southeast, man, I get it bad at my house, you know, from the marsh side of Trinity Bay where they're burning that off this time of year. But so far, so good.
Well, it'll eventually, I guess it's going to dry up for at least 3 days. Probably get another round of rain. But if I could mow my yard, it would be nice.
Well, I got mine knocked out before that front line. Did you see how all the rain, you know, that's all, everything, it flooded all that west and hill country stuff over that way.
Yeah.
You know, around Junction and Roosevelt and, you know, all that area up there. But as it was approaching, my weather forecast actually predicted it would tear itself apart before it hit the coast, and it actually did. I thought I was going to get a lot of rain out of that one. But
oh, I did too. And it lifted and went on above us.
Yeah. Looked like East Texas got a pretty good pound in Dallas area and, you know, Lufkin, all that got hit pretty good. But we didn't get hardly anything out of it, which I was glad. Had enough.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be a wet fall. That's just the way it's going to be.
Well, if it's going to be a warm winter, it'll be a wet one.
It always is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just soon it turn cold like it ought to. But, you know.
Me too.
I guess you got plenty of fresh water over there in your river.
Yeah, it's starting to fill up the back of my bay. It just, that river keeps running and running and running. And then you combine the local runoff with it. But for as few fish as we have, it'll concentrate them better for us. It won't scatter them all out. That's a plus.
Yeah.
The only thing
that's
going to hurt us is when we pull these northeast winds behind these fronts, we're not going to have the protected areas to fish because they'll be all trashed out with fresh water.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a problem. This time of year, I mean, you have to depend on those areas. You know, when you pull those winds, you got to have them to get out, you know, of the wind and, you know, where you can target fish and work areas over better. And if it's trashed out in fresh water, you're just, you're back to plan B.
Well, I know one thing. I tasted the water everywhere I went Sunday and Monday, and it was salty everywhere.
Well, it had to be. It was two foot of tide surge coming up in these bays, you know, with plenty of salt water. That's a plus.
Oh, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, that kind of put salt water back where it needed to be and mixed it up. We don't have that much. Our river levels are not that bad right now.
They're still running 18,000 out of Livingston. It's been doing that for about 10 days now. The lake is, they've got it down to about a little over a half a foot above pool, but they're going to release it till I get it down to 131. It's right now, it's at 131.68.
Yeah, we're still below pool on both of our lakes.
But yeah.
All that rain might have put some more at Toledo Bend. It might make it go up a little, but that's not going to be an issue, I don't think, right now.
No, Rayburn can hold a bunch, too. Yeah, both those lakes can hold a lot of water, you know.
Yeah, they were both down at least 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah.
So, barring anything really bad up there, we shouldn't have anything but local runoff. Most of ours is kind of, you know, settled in, and we just need the tide to go out, that's all. But it's been that way all summer long, all year long. It's been something strange, you know. Contrary weather, southwest wind syndrome, a bad flood in the spring, you know, mid-February, we're tearing the fish up, and here comes yet another really big flood on the Sabine River. And that's just it's hard to cope with that. We had some good days and we had some crummy days and mediocre days. But a little bit of normal fall would sure be nice.
Yeah, it would. Well, we're getting a little hint of it, you know, with this. And then this weekend, we got another one roaring in here.
Yeah.
Monday will be really nice, Monday and Tuesday. So
I wonder if that's going to be a northwest flow or a northeast.
It looks like north to northeast to me.
That's going to hold the tide up.
Yeah.
It won't blow it down. But
is fine as long as it'll get back to normal. It's just running way above. I mean, that storm kicked up water the whole Texas coast from Brownsville all the way, Louisiana, all the way around with just above normal tides, you know, localized flooding from it for the whole coast. That's I was putting out a swell there, bud.
Friday, Saturday, and actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday we had birds working over here. And then that water got yet a little higher and shut the tide flow off. And Monday, those birds did not work. They just shut the whole thing down. Then the winds got up out of the east southeast pretty bad.
Hello, shrimp might have gone back into marsh.
I think they may have.
They may have rode that tide up into the marsh, man.
Yeah, I didn't even see
any size of those fish under the birds over there.
Yeah.
any size to them?
Yeah, we had some actual Texas size keepers in some of those schools.
Boy.
But there were so many sand trout
that
you couldn't hardly catch a speck. You'd have to wade through 20 sand trout to get a speck on there.
See, that's nasty. I hate that kind of fishing.
And then there was the ever-present big-headed gaff top.
Yep,
coming through there.
That even makes me hate it more. They're probably in there eating those little bitty sand trout, too, is what's happening.
Probably. But they weren't as thick as they have been.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have three people fishing, and you trying to run the trolling motor, and next thing you know, somebody gets a big gaff top on. I've got to help them get that thing off. And then you kind of drop off your fish a little bit, and it causes you to have problems staying on the fish.
Yeah.
And so I'll be glad when them big-headed devils are gone.
That won't be long. Boy, I'll tell you, those skipjacks vanish as fast as they appear, don't they? They just...
They left within 2 days
I mean,
over
just
here.
Boom, they're gone.
How does that happen?
I don't know. That's
a like
weird fish.
It's like they all do a switch, and from north to south, they left.
That's just a weird fish, man.
It is. They're strange. And they wasn't one. They were gone.
No, they just vanished. Oh, boy.
When they get their hat, they all get their hat.
I guess so.
That's a funny thing. Yeah, one day they're just gnawing your lures. You can't even get the lure to sink. You throw it out there, and there's so many of them eating it, they won't let it go to the bottom. And the next day, you get two or three bites, and the next day after that, there's not one left. That's the funniest thing. And, you know, tide was up and everything. They didn't care. They just left.
Mm-hmm. Instead of riding the tide out, they just bucked the incoming and said, we're leaving. See y'all later. It's been nice. We ate all your shrimp crop up, so now we're leaving.
Yeah, we ate everything up.
Shrimp and shad.
They're the most voracious feeders I've ever seen. You have to marvel at anything that can eat as much as they do all day long.
That's it. They're like a goose. It just runs right through them.
I wonder if we're going to get the five fish limit.
I'm sure we will.
Are they holding any scoping meetings yet or anything?
They haven't posted any yet, but I can assure you, come January and February, we'll be all over it like a duck on a June bug.
Well, I would like to see Louisiana do something to follow suit.
Yeah.
Just kind of slow down things a little bit. And, you know, I heard a couple of years ago that they maybe were going to use some of that BP money to build a hatchery over there, but I've not heard anything else about that. So
it wouldn't take much. I mean, it can be done. I would like to... to see us step up hatchery programs even more. We have hatcheries, so I'd like to. Speckled trout are so hard to do because they're so cannibalistic. You know, once they get a certain size, they all start eating each other. But it'd be nice to, replenish the bays as we pull fish out of it. We as fishermen, if we want them, we need to pay for them.
We're paying through the nose.
Well, we are, but, you remember we created that saltwater stamp for these kind of purposes. Kind of like,
true.
They did the freshwater stamp deal for the bass hatchery.
There you go.
But look at the thousands of tournaments a year. Just a tournament fee, any kind of restitution off of that. How many speckled trout could you put in the back in the waters that tournaments are taking out?
I would go for tournament fees for everybody.
Something. I mean, they're missing a boat on it, and these tournaments would be more than gratuitous. They'd love to do it.
Yeah.
Give them a good cause for throwing it.
They could brag about that.
Yeah, look, we're putting fish back where they used to be after we took them out. I mean, that's part of the process. If we want to have a sustainable, healthy, and lucrative fishery, things like that need to be done. There's so many people fishing now and so much game taken out of the water. And that's what I liked about when we had the the KILT Big Bass tournament on Lake Conroe every year. All that money went straight for restocking purposes on Lake Conroe when they'd have it there. And things could correlate accordingly here on the coast if we'd just all work together. Somebody just start doing it. Monkey see, monkey do. Everybody follow each other.
Yeah. it would work.
That's right.
There's an incredible amount of money following tournaments out there.
Yeah, there is. You bet there is. There's plenty of money in it.
Yep. So,
we pay, what was our guide license? $210 a year or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm sure that helps. That puts a lot of money into Texas Parks and Wildlife for the amount of guides there are now. You got the redfish tag thing. I mean,
I would love to see more hatchery stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer now. You put and take is fine with me, just as long as they put in as many as we take out.
Well, look what restocking flounder did for the flounder fishing on the coast. Remember, a few years back, flounder were a rare thing. They were scarce. And look what it's done.
Yeah.
And they didn't even have to put that many in there. Just to drop the limits like they did and then close that season to just two fish there for a couple of months during the run and restocking, it's made a remarkable comeback.
Yeah, and I'm kind of looking, speaking of flounder, I'm kind of looking for a fairly decent fall run once the water starts out. It's been so hot, they're still hanging wherever they're at.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still on summer pattern right now. But we should start seeing them gather. And we were starting to see a few down in the ship channel.
Yeah, there's
still all this high water coming.
There's been a little bit of movement, but we'll get a few more fronts sliding in here, and it'll all go. It'll be good.
Yeah.
All right, Bill. I'm already got to go. Got another break.
Okay, brother.
Got to do my thing. So, if somebody wants to come over
tomorrow,
okay, put them a number out, bud.
409-786-2018.
OurFishSabineLake.com.
Hopefully I'll have you a report Saturday.
You got it, my friend. Bill,
take
good
care,
talking
buddy.
To you. Thank you, man. See you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:40 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe and talk to the fish dude, see what's shaking in his trees this morning. Hey, Richard, good morning.
Well, good morning, Mickey. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. How's things in your world?
It's all good. It's cooling down, finally.
Isn't
good,
it nice?
Right?
Feels good, doesn't it?
It is. 58 degrees up here right now.
There you go.
That's, That's what I'm talking about. Maybe them hybrids will start biting now. I've been after them rascals pretty hard, and I can see them, but I've only had one bite in the past three times I've been trying for them.
At least you got a good backup. There. You got them cats going anyway.
I know it. That's the thing. But the problem is I keep hanging with them hybrids so long and trying to get them to bite because, I mean, like I say, I can see them down there. I just can't get them sunguns to open their mouths. When they do, though, it's gonna be a blast. But them dang catfish, they've been doing pretty good. I mean, there's ain't no doubt about that because we've been spending maybe an hour and a half on them and catching 20, 25 of them, you know, here and there. Matter of fact, I don't even remember. Yeah, we had almost 30 of them the other day. So, and we didn't spend no time on them rascals, but it's I don't know. It's all good. I'm glad to see this weather. You know, the only problem is I got 4 inches of rain yesterday, so I don't know how much that lake's going to come up. I ain't even looked at it yet. I want to get down there and see what the water looks like. Even though it's down right now, that fresh water coming in like that, going to bring it up a little bit. It should bring it up about 4 inches according to what normally happens. If I get four at the house, it should be 4 inches.
So that front line that was coming in day before yesterday evening, you got some good rain out of it, huh?
Oh, good night, yes. I mean, that was, I think we had about an inch and a half the night before, something like that. And then yesterday, good night. When it come rolling through there yesterday morning, it was coming in hard, and it was a lot of rain real fast, so it ran off. I know a lot of it did. I'm sure, you know, I live north of the lake, so I'm sure as it came through, the lake got a bunch of it too. So, yeah, the other day it was at 199 and just a little bit of change. It should be up to about, I'd be willing to bet it's almost 199 and three quarters by now.
So what does that mean? What's level pool?
201 is normal pool.
Okay.
They pulled it down to 199 for the hurricane preparation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of their hurricane season water level. Not hurricane season's over. Maybe they won't release none of this that's coming in. So that won't hurt my feelings.
Don't speak too soon. It ain't over yet.
It's close, though.
It's close.
I guarantee you. I guarantee you, we get this next one, this reinforcing front that's coming in, hurricane season's over. Texas ain't going to get nothing.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
You can hold me to that one.
I hope you're right. We don't want any of that.
I know I'm right. I promise you I'm right on that because you look at how this one here did. And I said that before whenever we start getting them hurricanes building up out there. As we get one coming to Texas, you're going to see a cold front come out of the north. And if that cold front's strong enough, that hurricane will not hit us. I mean, I guarantee you, I've been watching these things too long. You have too. And these dang weathermen, they done got to where they're more about trying to be actors and create all this dang drama than actually telling you what's going on. So I start predicting it myself. You know, it's just one of them things. I don't need all the drama. I need to know what's going to happen. That hurricane that hit Florida yesterday, I was sitting there watching that rascal last week going, if it does come, it can't get to us because I was watching this front come down. And now this second one that's behind it, they're talking about 10, 20 mile an hour winds with it. When them winds start pulling in here like that, the hurricanes can't get past it. That cold is heavier than that heat. So that heat's going to go up. That cold's going to slip underneath it. It's going to push them back. It can't do it. So, but anyway, let's get off of that. I heard y'all talking about that stocking on them. Yeah, I tell you what, stocking trout would not be a bad idea at all. Flounder, you know, like I say, y'all did the flounder deal and got to come back on them. Just like Conroe, we've been doing the crappie stuff, and that's all on a voluntary basis. And can you imagine, like y'all talking about getting them tournament people involved, where they just donate a dollar per entrant?
Yeah, anything.
Anything. Just anything, $5 per entry or whatever. It don't matter. You know, you start dropping that down on 100 entries per tournament, and you got two of those a weekend, you know, you come up with some change after a little bit, and it'll be a great benefit to the coastal community as far as whatever fish it is you're going to stop. Because it's, I mean, use Colorado.
Well, you can't just keep taking and taking and not giving anything back. You've got to put back, you know, and it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, Conroe is a prime example, Mickey, on those crappie. I mean, we fished them out. I mean, we literally fished them out in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
And, because we didn't think about the conservation side of it back then. It was look at what we got.
Nobody does till it's too late.
Exactly. So we went through that process, and now that we got people, you know, just voluntarily throwing change in a jar. Now this year, I think we're going to end up with about 4,000 or 5,000, maybe 6,000 crappie that we put in the lake. I'm not sure. We got a couple of different jars out that have been taking donations all throughout the year. So it's, you know, it's going to be close. And the crappie are back. I mean, we're catching crappie on the lake just almost as good as we were back in the 80s. And so the population's getting back in there. But it's not because everybody kept taking. It's because people took and put back. So, and like you say, it takes that one person to get it started. That one person that gets it started, kind of get the ball rolling, and you can start, like all the marinas can start something or.
Well,
you know,
it'll get infectious, you know. Everybody wants to do good and make a difference. And you know, to keep our industry where it should be, things like this have got to be done. Look what Catch and Release did for bass fishing, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, you remember the days when it was tough to catch a bass in the state of Texas, you know, anything good, all the lakes
Absolutely.
Turned into runt ponds. And that's, you know, that's kind of what the coast is doing.
That's right. And you know, the thing is, and it just takes just a little bit of a change, and it's not much of a change. I mean,
it's nothing drastic. I mean, you can still go fishing and enjoy the sport and all, but, take care of it. Cherish
right.
it. Cherish
know what,
it.
Know which ones are your brood stock and leave them alone when they need to be left alone. You see what I'm saying? Stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. Your spawning fish, you leave them alone and let them do their thing. That's one step. That's just one minor step. And then the restocking aspect of it, like you say, the population is growing. It's not going to diminish. And there's going to be, with that population growth, there's going to be more and more people headed to the water, and they're going to be, whether it's freshwater or saltwater, they're going to be fishing. If you don't look ahead and look in advance at what your species are that are being depleted the most and start trying to manage that depletion, then you're not going to have them in the future. And my thing's always been about my kids and my grandkids. You know, it's all about a family thing to me. I want everyone of my grandkids and their grandkids to be able to enjoy what I enjoy today. And if we don't take care of that, it ain't going to happen. You know, I mean, that's just the name of the game. And, you know, we can't fish them out. Look at the tuna. I mean, the tuna are one of the fish that have almost been fished out over in Japan. I mean, they don't. That's why they pay so much for these over here.
Hell, globally,
almost,
yeah.
I mean, really, it's they'll pay so much for these dying tuna out of the U.S. because they don't have many over there. They fished them out, and they'll continue as long as they're there. So that's just some people are that way. They don't think about it at all. You know, we're tend to think more locally on what we do and from a conservation standpoint. When we start looking at some of these other countries like that, they don't have the regulation on the fish. They go out and they catch everything they can catch, and they keep everything that they do catch. So
takers, man.
Exactly. I mean, and there's nothing we can do to change that. Unless somehow more money gets involved with the conservation side of it than is involved with the taking of the fish.
Well, and plus, you know, we need to look at environmental fallout and all those avenues, too. There's no sense in having a fishery. And, I mean, you stock fish in a copper smelter, you know what I mean, in a polluted environment where the water quality, everything's not what it should be, and you're just doing it for nothing. There's a lot of aspects to it.
Really is. The pollution is a big aspect. You know, when they had the, what was Brazil, was that where they had all the pollution in the water this last couple of years during one of the...
Yeah,
that's where it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that you look at and you go, dang, how could a fish even live in it? And then would you want to eat?
I mean, look at the tons and tons and tons. I mean, yeah, I can't even, you can't even weigh all of it or measure it. It's so much plastic in the oceans, you know, just from litter alone and on our planet. And look at this fallout. The media does not even report on this. I don't know why they won't, but look at all that radiation, the fallout from that nuclear disaster in Japan from the earthquake and the tsunami. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean it's been washing up on the coast of Alaska for a couple of years.
Yeah, you don't think that's not hitting the west coast of the United States too? It's not affecting fish and everything else in our oceans out there? It's got to be.
I guarantee it is. There's no doubt. I mean, absolutely no doubt about that. You know, but then you.
I mean, we could finger point all day, but you know, you just got to start small and work your way into it and work it up, and things will rebound and come back. We'll just give it half a chance, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the best examples of that is these signs on the side of the highway say, don't mess with Texas. And then, well, no, seriously.
No,
I mean, the commercials?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I laughed. Yeah,
but prior to all the advertising, you know, the fabulous Thunderbirds doing their deal on TV about don't mess with Texas and all these signs going up, I remember going down, and you do too. When you were young, going down the highway, watching people just chunk stuff out the window.
That's it.
I mean, everybody did. When I lived out in West Texas, it was amazing. Out there in Midland, where my grandparents lived in Hobbs, New Mexico. So we'd go from Midland up to Seminole and cut across to Hobbs, New Mexico. Well, that's pretty much a straight line. Well, it's all desert up there. Well, these sand dunes would build up on these fence lines because the tumbleweeds would build up on them. But also, you would have all that garbage that would blow on that one side of the road because you always had like a north or a south wind, and whichever wind was prevalent at that time of year, all the garbage would move to one side of the road. The tumbleweeds would be over there. The sand dunes would actually build up over the fence and cover everything up. But, I mean, it just looked horrible. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts paying attention to it more. Let's take care of it. Now, I'm talking about in the 60s and the 70s is what I'm talking about. And then starting in about the 70s, you started seeing it start to turn. People started paying attention to it, and they started cleaning it up, and you start seeing all this don't mess with Texas stuff go up. And the roads, even though we've got a lot of stuff on the side of the roads right now, it's not nothing like it used to be.
No.
We've got people picking it up and stuff like that, so, you know, voluntarily picking it up. So,
all right.
And the waterways, it ultimately all ends up in the water.
That's all right, now that we've soapboxed out, it's time to run. And you know what, one real quick, one aggravating factor too is during deer season, all the corn sacks that are blown out of everybody's trucks all over the highways, that aggravates me.
Yes.
I mean, when you're feeling feeders, you keep stuffing those sacks in one sack and you put it all in one and you secure it where it doesn't blow out of the back of your truck. Come on, man.
Yeah, all right. Don't leave them dang things laying everywhere.
That's it. All right, brother. Throw them out a number.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
And anything we put on the ground ends up after heavy rains in our tributaries, in our lakes and bays. It just...
all the time,
that's
I promise you.
Evil
it's
process. All right, bud. Richard, have a good day, man.
Yes, sir. You too.
Later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.